up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, if your favorite NFL team isn't looking for a new head coach and hasn't found one yet, what are you waiting for? I'm looking at you, Cincinnati and Miami. Looking for new head coaches. Adam Gase is going to go to the Jets. They don't seem to be too thrilled about it. But the one I really was interested in was where the Denver Broncos were going to go with their selection of their head coach. Because John Elway, who is, again, as we've said many, many times, he's the king of that area. He's the prince of the city. Is really under a little bit on the hot seat, despite all of his success on the football field. Ever since Peyton Manning left, the team has been just kind of tail spinning and became mediocre and outright terrible. He really needed to land a home run with a coaching pick. And people are criticizing the choice of Vic Fangio, not because of Fangio, but because it was too safe. Well, if you're John Elway, maybe safe was the right way to go if you're looking for a head coach of the Denver Broncos after the failed experiment of giving Vance Joseph run of the helm. Maybe the fact that Gary Kubiak is your offensive coordinator is safe but good. Just because it's safe doesn't mean it's a bad choice. Fangio's been 32 years in the league, got defenses. He's worked with many defenses around the league. He's one of the premier defensive minds, and that's what Elway was looking for. He was looking for a guy that was really good on one side of the ball. He didn't have to be an offensive and defensive mind. It's really, really excellent defensive mind. He's already got Gary Kubiak. And I think that's what led him to choose Fangio over Mike Munchak. Those were the two choices that were on the table. Munchak had previous head coaching experience, but I think the idea of Gary Kubiak running the offense was what he wanted, and he wanted another guy on the defensive side of the ball. It doesn't mean the choice is bad. It just means it's safe. And in Elway, if you're John Elway, you can get away with a lot of things in terms of how you're putting the Broncos together. You're John Elway, for crying out loud. And there's a little bit of, well, John knows better than I do about football that you can deliver to the fan base. But that only works for a certain period of time. And after a while, the fan base starts noticing that the results aren't exactly there. The draft picks aren't working out. The coaching hirings aren't working out either. And all of a sudden, that mountain that you're on starts to come down a little bit. And I think that's what Elway was feeling. But again, like the choice, it's safe, but I still like the choice. We'll talk more about the coaching hirings coming up. Your thoughts at 800-777-2907. We kick off the morning on a Thursday on SB Nation AM.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We're doing the Throwback Thursday on the bumper music, and this is Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical, which is the number one hit back in 1982. And we're honoring 1982 today for a very, very good reason. This is just not a random year that Ron Culver pulled out of his hat. All right, this is a very special day today. This is the day that Dwight Clark made the catch in the end zone to beat the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC Championship game.
Talking about six, Don Landry is 6 yards away from his sixth Super Bowl. And, of course, for the upstart 49ers, they're 6 yards away from Pontiac. Third and three, Montana looking. Throwing in the end zone. Clark caught it! Dwight Clark! It's a madhouse at Candlestick with 51 seconds left. Dwight Clark is 6'4". He stands about 10 feet tall in this crowd's estimation.
Wow, that was the great Vin Scully on the call. You could hear that crowd was so, like those old stadiums where you just felt like the stadium was going to come apart.
Yes.
It's almost like they had collapse upon itself.
It's like they scattered microphones throughout the stadium.
Oh, no kidding.
To really get the crowd noise.
You barely hear him after he makes that. You barely hear Scully. He's on the mic. I mean, he's on, but you can barely hear him from the loudness of Candlestick. Well, that happened on this day.
They didn't really have like closed booths back then, right? Oh, they had windows and they'd keep the
They just let the guys freeze to death in the middle of the winter, you know, and just open up that booth. But Scully on the call. I love the way it just sounds like the way he went 3rd and 3 just sounds just like he was calling.
Well, the other
pitch.
Part of that too. When I made that cut, I had to shorten it because when, you know, he does his thing, when Dwight Clark makes a catch, there's like 40 seconds of just crowd noise.
Nothing. He's legendary for
that. Yeah, he just let it go. And then he comes back in with, you know, Dwight Clark made the catch. I mean, then he explains what happened. So if you're listening on the radio, you're kind of waiting, like what happened?
Yeah,
made what? What? I could tell the Niners did something good, or was that the Cowboys? Because can't tell.
Now the 49ers would go on to win that game, and they would go on to play the Cincinnati Bengals in Super Bowl 16 in Pontiac, as you heard Vin Scully say, Pontiac. That was the Silver Dome in Michigan, and that at the time was the first time it had gone to a cold weather city. And of course, it was indoors, right? But all the festivities were outdoors, and there was an ice storm the day of the Super Bowl, and the Niners almost didn't make it. There was people had to park their cars and like walk to the stadium because they couldn't get there, and the Niners almost didn't make like the normal like warm up times and things like that you would want to do getting to the stadium, and because the storm was really bad, and it made people question with the NFL's sanity of putting the Super Bowl even in a dome. Like, even, you know, hey, look, so it's going to be indoors, it's going to be weather controlled and everything, but there's a lot that goes on outside the Super Bowl, outside the stadium, and it was the first time they'd done that, and people were really critical. But that they played the Cincinnati Bengals, and as a Charger fan, you might remember they played the San Diego Chargers in the AFC Championship game, and the weather was like, with the wind factor, was like minus 50 degrees in that game. Dan Fouts still talks about how his hands still hurt in cold weather because he didn't wear gloves in that game. And it was absolutely freezing. I think some fans died in the stadium because they were drinking alcohol and took off their shirts and whatnot. I think a fan died, or it was very, very, very cold, bitterly cold that day in the AFC title game. And the Chargers had beaten the Dolphins to get there, and it was hot and humid in Miami. So, I mean, they really went through the gamut of the weather that season in 1982. So I remember Kellen Winslow getting carted off, like taken off the field by his teammates down in Miami in that double overtime classic.
Well, because that was the game he decided, you know, if he had made the conscious decision, like if I went all out, if I gave 100% on every single play, what would that look like? How would I feel at the end of it?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what it, even that's plays that weren't going towards him, he went 100% on every single play.
Yeah, not only was he catching passes, he was blocking kicks, because there were field goals that were being missed and blocked, and you know, it was sudden death overtime back then. So imagine if you go into double overtime, you're missing field goal attempts, and both of them, Uwe von Schaman for the Dolphins and Rolf Benerschke for the Chargers, were missing kicks, getting them blocked, and then finally Benerschke kicked the field goal that won it for the Chargers and moved them to Cincinnati for the AFC title game. But the big story of that year was the catch by Dwight Clark and the upstart 49ers led by this young quarterback named Joe Montana. And how good were they going to be as they went to their first Super Bowl 16 back in 82. So that's what we're doing. All right. So the head coaching hirings. So the Jet fans apparently, and I use that word in quotes here, apparently don't like the Adam Gase hire. And the only reason that people are making that assessment is because of Twitter, which is a very, very bad way to judge the people's emotions about something. Because not everybody's on Twitter, and people who are even on Twitter aren't always tweeting about something. So like the New York Post this morning had a big story about how Jet fans don't like the Adam Gase hire, and all they did was list a bunch of tweets of people who didn't like it, like six, right? Adam Gase, For those of you who know his background, Adam Gase was the quarterback's coach of the Denver Broncos when Peyton Manning really needed a quarterback's coach. At the time, he was coming back from neck surgery. He had signed with the Broncos, hadn't played for a while, was looking to get his rhythm and get his timing back. And he credits Adam Gase tremendously with his success in Denver. Maybe Peyton Manning's being generous with that, but no doubt he really benefited from Adam Gase. Gase went on to Chicago. He helped Jay Cutler cut down his interceptions, but then he went to Miami and he didn't do very much there. Now, a lot of it was because Ryan Tannehill was hurt and he really couldn't get a rhythm going with his starting quarterback, but he was mediocre in Miami for three seasons. It felt like the Dolphins were just like 8-8, 7-9 every single year. But he's now the Jets head coach. And Ron and I had talked about this yesterday. You are never that far away. And if you get in the NFL circles, if you are in becoming a head coach or whatever it is, and you are in the coaching circle of the National Football League, you are not unemployed for very long. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how horrible you are. It doesn't matter if you leave in disgrace from a team. And Adam Gase certainly didn't leave in disgrace, just 3 years that didn't work. But you're just minutes away from phone calls from teams in the NFL, whether it's for a coordinator position or whether it's for an interview for a head coaching job. I mean, look at the names that are being tossed around the league as coordinator position. Todd Bowles, the Jets head coach that they just fired, got a job in Tampa. He's on Bruce Arians' staff as defensive coordinator. All right. I mean, you are not unemployed for very long in this league. My question is, what happened to Mike McCarthy? Wasn't Mike McCarthy supposed to be the Jets head coach? Wasn't he the only job he wanted?
They passed him over. That's the rumor.
Yeah, I guess.
So now what I read was he's saving face and he's going to sit a year. He's taking a year off his eligibility.
That's what Bruce Arians did. Bruce Arians took a year off into retirement. Now he's back as head coach.
There's another one. I thought Bruce Arians, he only wanted to go to the Browns.
Yeah, that's right. He said he only wanted to coach the Browns.
That'd have been a great fit.
And now he's going around telling everybody Jameis Winston can win a Super Bowl. Buying the company line. That is drinking the Kool-Aid, man. If Bruce Arians was just back as a television analyst, he wouldn't have said that. But now he's getting paychecks from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their quarterback is going to win Super Bowls. Good job. But again, it's really amazing. We talked about Cliff Kingsbury getting the job at Arizona. And if you're an Arizona Cardinals fan, there's this unknown that's kind of cool. That's kind of neat. You don't really know what's going to happen. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's bad. But if you're a Jets fan, there's nothing that makes you go, okay, this will work out for Adam Gase. Like we have better tools. The Dolphins had Ryan Tannehill at the time Gase took that over. You know, Tannehill was showing some things and it was, oh, Adam Gase, if he gets down there, if he did the same thing as he did with Peyton Manning and Jay Cutler in terms of helping them in their game, what he could do with Ryan Tannehill will be amazing. There's nothing of that. And again, injuries played a factor in that. I'm not discounting that. But if you're a Jets fan, this doesn't make you go, yeah, this makes you go, all right, okay. And that's that high. Now, Vic Fangio, that's going pretty well in Denver. Seems like people in Denver are pretty excited about that. 32 years in the league, great defensive mind, offensive mind of Gary Kubiak is going to be on the other side of the ball. That seems to work. Fangio's been interviewed for a lot of positions. He feels like his name comes up every year for a head coaching position. He's never landed one. 66 years old, finally lands a head coaching job after 32 years in the league. I mean, that's diligence, man. At one point, do you ever think, it's not going to happen? I'll just be a coordinator forever. This is never going to happen for me.
And you know, that's not a bad gig.
No, it's pretty great.
You know, if you're a decent coordinator that has longevity of being a coordinator, why not? Just, you know, I guess a lot of pressure is off of you.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer all the questions.
No. Kubiak resigned from the head coaching position with the Broncos for health concerns. I think took some time off. It feels like he could do the coordinator position okay. So he's going to be calling the plays. And this is exactly what Elway wanted. Exactly what he wanted. He wanted Kubiak. And I think Mike Munchak wasn't comfortable with that. So what you do is you say, okay, fine, let's get a defensive guy that doesn't mind. The guy I want is the offensive coordinator. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio as we get ready for the weekend that is the NFL playoffs with four games on the slate and some good ones at that. We'll talk about those coming up. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Throwback Thursday here on SB Nation AM. All right, is this Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yes!
All right.
Song name?
Groove Tonight.
Let's groove.
Let's groove. Okay.
Topped the charts this week at number three.
In 1982. We're going back to 1982 in honor of the catch that happened on this date in 82. Remember Forrest Whitaker's character in Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Of course. Wanted
Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets.
Yeah, beat Lincoln.
That's right. For Lincoln and Little Brother. Earth, Wind, and Fire. I got two tickets for you. Rat was giving him tickets. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Welterweight superstars return to the ring when legendary eight-time champion Manny Pacquiao beats four-time champion Adrian the Problem Broner. Two of the biggest stars in boxing. One explosive fight, Pacquiao versus Broner. Saturday, January 19th at 8 p.m., 6 p.m. Pacific, live on pay-per-view. That's coming up not this weekend, but next weekend. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number as we look at. I'm looking at these games this weekend, and I'm kind of reading up on them and these playoff games, trying to find a match. I think three road teams could win this weekend. And you know what? That's too much to take.
No, I'm hoping.
In a playoff weekend. Three road teams can win this weekend.
I'm hoping for at least two of them.
I know.
I'll be happy with two AFC road teams winning this week.
The Colts and the Chargers, I think, can win this weekend. And I think Dallas can win this weekend. I think Philadelphia has zero chance at the Superdome. Zero. Foles, no, I don't care. They don't have a chance against the Saints.
You don't think the Big D magic will last anymore?
Wouldn't that be, you know what? I would love to be proven wrong, man. I'd love to come back here on Monday
if that magic happens again, are you all in on Nick Foles?
I'm all in on
Nick
Foles.
You have to be, right?
I'm all in on Nick Foles.
All in on Nick Foles. If that happens again, my God.
If he pulls this off and he's a win away from a Super Bowl by beating the 13-3 high-powered Saints who have a defense now, if he pulls that off at the Superdome, I wouldn't know what to make of it. I really wouldn't. I would be as perplexed as anything that happened in sports.
Right. And then the bigger question becomes, do you trade Carson Wentz? Do you get rid of him?
Yeah, I throw that out there, and I feel dumb asking that because people are like,
he's the future.
You've given up picks to remember. The Eagles gave up picks to move up to get Carson Wentz. So he was the guy that they wanted. He's the future. He's the young guy. But I'm like, wow, what do you do with a guy that's doing this for your team? But you know what? The critics point out, well, he wasn't doing that early on when Wentz was working his way in a comeback, and the Eagles weren't playing like gangbusters in the regular season. He's just doing this postseason magic. Very good. Very good. Maybe he's a late game kind of guy. Maybe he's a late season playoff kind of guy. But my God, it's too expensive to keep him, so you're not going to keep him. You can trade him for some serious value if you want to keep Carson Wentz. But, I mean, seriously, I think there are some people out there that are just throwing it and saying, well, quarterback is about getting production, and what's better production than a guy that's winning you playoff games and getting you to closer and closer to Super Bowls?
A random thought, but here, can a team have a regular season quarterback and a postseason quarterback?
I know. That's the big thing, right?
It seems far-fetched now, but listen, there's been a lot of things that have been far-fetched throughout the years that all of a sudden just become common.
Yeah, by week 15, you're like, Carson, don't you have a cold? Oh, no, I feel fine. Nope. No, I sense a cold coming.
You better sit. That hangnail looks like it's getting infected.
Exactly. Why is that hamstring doing? Oh, God. Yeah, it looks terrible. I mean, that's where the Eagles are going. This is part two in the most incredible way. Look, it reminded me, I don't want to make the comparison too much because Foles is a much better quarterback than Tim Tebow. But I remember when Tim Tebow was winning games in Denver and I was going, I don't know how this is happening. Like, I really don't know how this, it was as perplexing. To me, Foles is obviously a good quarterback. He's much better than Tebow and this possible of winning. But just doing it the way he's doing it, right? I mean, last year the Eagles were a very, very good football team. So getting to the Super Bowl required them to win a few home games in the playoffs, right? Because Carson Wentz had built them up to be really good. They were really good across the board. This year they're not. This year they're weaker. Jay Ajayi is hurt, so they don't run the ball as well. Defensively, they don't play as well. But nevertheless, offensive line is weaker than it was last year. But if he goes to New Orleans and pulls this off,
all bets are off with this Eagles team. But I think the task is too daunting. I mean, it's going to New Orleans is really hard to do. But the Colts, the Chargers, the Cowboys, I think all three can win on the road. I like the Cowboys against the Rams. I really do. I think that game is going to be very good, close, and the Cowboys running game is going to, you're going to start, Ezekiel Elliott's going to have a big game. I think he's going to be able to run on the Rams, and Dak Prescott will do enough. The Amari Cooper trade has worked out. It opens up the running game for the Cowboys. He gets separation, and I think this is a game where, you know, the Cowboys can win on the road. And I think the Chargers, as I said, been saying all week, I think on paper anyway, they're a better team than the Patriots. So they should. Now, what's the forecast for New England? I keep hearing snow. Is it really going to have snow? Because I don't want this. I don't want snow. I don't want a snow game. I don't want shoveling snow and
I don't want
cold,
the Chargers
cold weather.
Playing in snow. Most of those guys will look at it like, what's that?
So I don't want snow. I want nice, crisp winter weather, but right. I don't want snow. I don't mind it being 30-something degrees for the Chargers, but I don't want it freezing. That's not good. That would all bets are off then.
Yeah, because then it's almost like God wants Patriots back into the fold, and you're like, no, God, come on,
stop, please don't
listen
let this
to the
again.
Masses. Everyone wants a break.
Everybody does want a break. I've had back-to-back years with the Patriots in the Super Bowl, because I'm telling you right now, Patriots, if they beat the Chargers, I don't care who they're facing. I will take them in the championship game. I don't care where they got to. Yep. They got to go to Kansas City or not. I don't care. They're going to win that game. They just have it. You know what I mean? They just have it. You're going to beat them now. And I think the Chargers are capable. And the Colts, my God, I mean, this is a pick'em game for me. I know the Chiefs are great and their offensive is high flying, but this Indianapolis team has found whatever groove it's had. The Colts, if they have played like what they're playing all year long, they would have been the Chiefs. Right? They would have had a great record. They stumbled out of the gate and tried to find their footing. Give them a couple of victories, they would have had home field advantage through the playoffs. Are you kidding?
And here's the thing. You know, game on the line. I know Mahomes has done a lot of amazing things this year, but I really do trust Andrew Luck more than I would Patrick Mahomes. Right?
I do too. I do too. And listen,
and
Mahomes
is not taking anything away from Mahomes, right? I mean, it's, you know, we're saying, yeah, you're good. You're going to become a really solid quarterback. I'm not going to throw the great title on him yet because, you know, I mean, yeah, he threw 50 touchdowns in what is kind of like his rookie season. But, you know, we still need to see more work, a stronger body of work out of him before we start labeling great. But Andrew Luck has done a lot of great things in this league already. And he is, like, I feel like he's teetering on that line of greatness already. I think there's a few playoff wins that he needs, you know, maybe a trip to the Super Bowl to really make him, you know, more one of the elite quarterbacks. But at this stage, I trust him. You know, you give me a final drive, I'd rather have Andrew Luck in the driver's seat.
Well, you know, I like Patrick Mahomes, and there's nothing to indicate that he would be shy from the big moment of a playoff game, a win or go home kind of aspect to it, right? Because all through the season, the Chiefs have been good, and the games that they've lost haven't really hurt them. They've played in really, you know, they played in good games. They've played well and lost. I mean, look at the Patriots and look at the Rams. But the thing about it is the playoffs, you do tighten up in the postseason. I don't care who you are. You do tighten up a little bit. Maybe you get a little bit more conservative. Maybe you're a little bit more focused. And that's not saying you can't do that. But I know Andrew Luck has played really well in the playoffs, and I know he can. So that, but to me, I think the reality of it is this Colts team is rolling now. And it's just when you have a franchise quarterback and everything else is working too, man, that's a dangerous combination. And I know the Chiefs, my God, can put up points. I mean, they can put up points. So it's, you know, you're going to have to score and score a lot against them. And Arrowhead is a tough place to play. But the Chiefs, you know, this to me looks like an even more even matchup than it should be. I mean, I know one side is 50 touchdowns, but the other side is Andrew Luck. So I like the Colts in the way they're playing right now. So again, I see three road teams that can be victorious. I don't see the Eagles winning at the Superdome. But that to me, the three road teams winning, it just seems like too much. So I know three road teams aren't going to win. It just seems not possible. But I think they could. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Coming up next, big decision for one quarterback. And it looks like he's leaning in one direction. We'll talk about that coming up next as we continue Throwback Thursday, honoring the catch of Dwight Clark in 1982 on this date in the NFC title game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. Having fun on SB Nation AM.
don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to giftingmap.com. The team at Gifting Map has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit giftingmap.com today. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, honoring the year 1982, this is Rod Stewart and Young Turks. Correct?
Correct.
Yes. Because Patty gave birth to a 10-pound baby boy. That's the line I remember. They ran off. From their parents. That's basically the crux of the song. They eloped. That's right.
And then gave birth to a 10-pound baby boy.
10-pound baby boy. That's right. That's basically the story that Rod Stewart is telling in the song. All right.
Okay, real quick on Rod Stewart. Yeah. Does this seem like a more unlikely, I guess, singer, songwriter, star?
Completely.
You know, I mean, if you think about artists, musical artists back in the day, or even today, it's like they always had really good looks. They always had a really good voice. He seems to have neither.
Yeah, he has a raspy kind of voice.
Yeah, I mean, it's distinct.
Yeah, very, very distinct. Had a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Now, he married Rachel Hunter.
Remember
the SI model? He did this acoustical thing once on MTV. I think it was MTV Unplugged, but I'm not sure. Maybe it was just another acoustical performance. And he was playing one of his songs. And he said, when this song was released, my wife was one. I'm like, okay, that's getting it done. If you're marrying a woman that is so much younger than you, that you released a song when she was 1 year old, that's fantastic. Good for you, Rod Stewart. I don't think they're still married, right?
No, I think they separated a long time ago.
Done with that.
Yeah. No, I've been to a concert.
You've been to a Rod Stewart concert? Was it good?
Yeah, it was.
Was it good? Okay.
I came close to catching a soccer ball.
Did you really? Because he loves soccer. That's his thing.
Funny enough, I actually almost had an opportunity to play soccer with him. But I ended up playing soccer with his manager and a bunch of his friends.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool.
He played in a team that he sponsored in Los Angeles. And somehow, some way, I hooked up with these guys in a pub.
Wow.
And we just got to talking, and it was like, yeah, you know, and they invited me to come out. I played with them once. I mean, all of them were English. All of them had accents. It was fantastic. But, yeah, you know, I got to play with the manager. And the manager, he played professionally for a while before becoming Rod Stewart's manager. And Rod Stewart was supposed to be there in that, but then he got called away. I guess he got last minute like talk show gig or something. I don't know.
Oh, you know, life of a rock star,
man. He's there 1 second, gone the next.
Yeah, can't hold him down. Yeah, but he's a big big soccer fan. I saw a documentary on him, and he got to play like a match for Scotland or something like that. His dad was
probably
really
a charity one or
yeah,
a
charity
they
one.
They call them testimonials.
Yeah, so good for Rod Stewart.
But his shtick when he does a concert is he likes to punt soccer balls into the crowd.
Yeah, does he sign them or anything, or he just punts them?
He just punts them.
Wow, that's
maybe they're signed. I don't know. Maybe so. One came close and, you know, had like it was like trying to catch a foul ball, and you're amongst the crowd of people, and unfortunately the taller person wins.
Yeah. I went to a baseball game once with a girl, and it went to a Red Sox game, and a foul ball was coming towards us, and I almost plowed over her to get it. I had to stop myself because I was like, I'm actually pushing this girl to get in position. What am I doing? Like I was so excited that it was landing towards me. And I didn't realize I was practically shoving her out of the way to catch this fly ball.
Hey, she needs to learn.
Yeah, she laughed about it, but I was like, no, I'm sorry. I brought my glove to Fenway Park for many years as a young child and never came close. And then the one time I'm down the first base line and a foul ball's coming my way, I'm getting that thing as much as I possibly can. Then, of course, I'd probably have to give it away to a kid or something like that.
Or to the girl.
To the girl, right? I'm sorry I knocked you down to get this ball. You know, but it was weird because you all civility goes out the window, right? I mean, like, you're going after something. It's like t-shirts, like when they shoot t-shirts at games. It's a t-shirt. It's probably a t-shirt of the worst material a t-shirt can be made in that'll probably shrink the first time you wear it and probably fade like the second time you wash it.
But you'll shank someone for that shirt.
You will throw somebody off a balcony to get that. Are you kidding me? To get a t-shirt. Are you kidding? Nothing better than when people come out, who wants a t-shirt? They get the t-shirt gun, which, by the way, I contend could seriously hurt somebody if you aimed it very close. It's got to have a lot of PSI, don't you think? To dart a t-shirt all the way to the upper deck of an arena.
Isn't there a viral video of a kid accidentally having the gun
yes,
in reverse?
Yes. I think it was at Colorado.
Yeah. And it hit his nether regions and he was down. He was out.
Down. Yeah, that thing comes out pretty good, man. Yeah, t-shirt guns aren't any joke.
Talking a big ball of cotton at that point, just being shot at point blank range.
Yep. You know, people want free. People love that kind of stuff. So good. Yeah. I can only imagine a Rod Stewart kicked soccer ball. I mean, people would kill each other for it. Are you kidding me?
It was a good punt, though. I mean, he had a good arc on it.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine in college. He caught Tommy Lee's drumsticks at the end of a Motley Crue show.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Yeah, he said, man, it was crazy.
Both of them caught one.
He said he caught one. He had one in his hand. Tommy Lee threw him out, and he actually caught it in midair. Caught one of them in midair.
It'd be really impressive if he got both of them.
Oh, yeah, right? I mean, that's like Mr. Miyagi stuff, right? Snag that out of the air. So I only caught one foul ball in my life, and that was in the press box at Coors Field. And it was just this weird angle shot that came riveting through. Just ripped right through the press box and landed on the back wall and then rolled to my foot. I didn't even know if I could keep it. I didn't know if I was allowed to keep it. I was like, oh, do I get to keep it? They go, yeah, it's yours. Yeah. They go, you can take it, put it away. I was like, oh, no kidding.
Put it in your pocket.
I put it away. They marked the wall. It was Timo Perez of the Mets, and he dented the wall in the back of the press box. And for a while before they repaired it, they just had a circle and a mark that was the date and Timo Perez. Because the balls never came into the press box at Coors Field. It really took a strange angle. And he had to come off the bat in a particular way to go over the net and then right and then shallow right into the press box. So very rarely did we get any that actually came in. So the fact that one actually got to the back wall, which could have killed somebody if somebody was standing, and then dented the wall and then bounced to me, I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. So that was the only time I got one. I never got one in the stands or the field or anything like that. I never got a foul ball.
I mean, as many games never. As I've gone to, even, I've gone to minor league games.
And, you know, yeah, me too. Never
and,
get
and,
one.
And there's never anyone there at minor league games. It seems like, oh, that should be a given. I've yet to physically get one.
Yeah, it's amazing too because you like I hear these stories of people who've gotten like they're ball hawks, right? There's famous ball hawks, and they know how to do it, right? They know how to stay. They know how to get. Yeah, the one guy is very good at it. Like he knows exactly where to be, and he's gotten hundreds, if not thousands, of balls over the years. But I can't get one.
I know. I guess there's an art form to it.
Maybe so. I mean, what else you gotta, I mean, people are scrambling for the, would you give, like, you have kids, like, you know how, like, you go to a game and people want you to give it to a little kid, but you have kids. So if you went to a game by yourself, you'd want to take that home and maybe give it to your boys, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right. And yet people boo and people don't understand, like, no, I'm not giving it to the strange kid that wants a ball at the game. I might have a kid that I want to give this to at home.
At that point, I'm holding up a phone of my son.
Yeah, exactly. I'm giving it to him.
I'm going to find the saddest photo of him.
Absolutely.
Say,
that's a great choice.
Booing at me. Look at him.
That's a great decision on your part.
He's got nothing.
Man, if you get a foul ball and there's kids around, people will rip you to pieces if you put that away and you keep it for yourself. But you might want to give it to your kids. You might want to say, hey, look, your dad caught at the game.
Like,
here you go.
You know, and like they show that, and there's a little girl sitting right there, and she's crying. And then, you know, it's like, you know what? Hey, just keep, for me, the approach that I would take, keep showing the camera on me. And keep showing the little girl crying, because I guarantee you in about 5 minutes, the team is going to give her so much swag that I'm going to be jealous of her.
Yeah, that's a great point, right? There's always a PR person that's like, oh, let's not only are you getting a ball, but here's a signed jersey, and would you like to go meet the players at the end of the game? Oh, okay.
And then
That's excellent.
Here's four tickets for Behind the Dugout for next week.
Yeah, for next week. And here's some more stuff. Here's a hat, too, while we're at it. Why don't we just shower you with gifts because you're crying on TV because you need to get a foul ball.
And then they turn the guy, hey, you're happy with that ball? Look, we just did to this girl.
Yeah, exactly. I took my son when he was three to an Air Force hockey game, and he had a little Air Force jersey on, and he was a big hockey fan, and he hung out, and some players gave him a puck. And lost his mind. My kid lost his mind. It was the coolest feeling as a parent. Like, yeah, he slept with the puck and everything like that. I think he still has it, even as a teenager. But those things are really neat. But again, if you have a kid at home and you find, you know, a puck or a ball or something lands in the stands, you have every right to take that home and give it to your own kid. You have to find some little kid in the stands to give it to. And if you do, God bless you. But if you don't, because you have another ulterior motive for it, that's your ball.
Yeah, you should be allowed to take it to your kid.
Exactly. Take it to your kid. It's great. Like the foul ball I have a nice little case for it in my office, and I'll keep it. One day I'll say, here, foul ball I got at a Coors Field game. Here you go. Take it. My kid would be like, I have nothing to do with this. I have no idea why you gave this to me. Why is this an heirloom in our family? But nevertheless, still a cool thing. So, all right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. All right, so I want one thought on the Oklahoma Kyler Murray decision of going pro in the NFL or pro in Major League Baseball. The A's feel like he's leaning in one direction. I'll tell you where that's going next on SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Hurst from Let's Talk Wheels on Automotive Tip, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. How many of you in the last year found yourself driving when you're really tired? I'm guilty, and a new study says a third of all drivers are guilty too. Did you know that exhaustion is a factor in 1 out of 5 fatal crashes in the U.S.? Now, that same research says that the driver who has slept less than 5 hours increases the chance of a crash by 4 times. It's the same risk as driving drunk. I didn't know that. Sleepy drivers can't keep their eyes open, they drift in the lanes, and they can't remember the last few miles they drove. Sometimes you're a lot more tired than you think. Half of the drivers that crashed said they were fine before falling asleep. Well, they thought they were. Did you know that less than 4 hours of sleep increases the risk of a crash 11 times? So for everybody's sake, please make an effort to get plenty of sleep before hitting the road. Please be safe, folks. This is Mike Hurst from Let's Talk Wheels, are brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com.
Choose a new path this year at the Jeep Start Something New event, where you'll find great deals are just the beginning of the great adventures. I was made for this. Make a grand entrance in the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Because a brand new year means you deserve a stylish new look. And nothing looks better than confidence, which you'll find plenty of in the Jeep Compass. With over 70 standard and available safety and security features. If it's a new peak you're looking to conquer, find the SUV recognized for reaching the top in the Jeep Wrangler. Awarded the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Or, if all you need is a getaway, start your road trip in a Jeep Cherokee with up to 31 mpg highway. But no matter where the new year leads you, start it with a great deal at the Jeep Start Something New event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, this is Harden My Heart. Is that Pat Benatar from Quarter Flash?
Ding.
Is that who it is?
I got to find like a buzzer, a dinging buzzer type of thing.
I'm doing good.
That was impressive. I thought for sure you were going to need a little assist right there.
No, I'm trying not to. I'm trying to remember, see if I can knock these out. I don't mind getting them wrong because that was a long time ago.
Because
we honor 82. I was a young lad back then.
37 really years ago.
Yes, I know, right?
That's a little upsetting to say out loud.
Like, remember Back to the Future, how far back 30 years ago was for Marty McFly?
I mean, we're past that point.
Way past that point. The Oakland A's are expected that Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray will declare for the NFL draft. This according to the San Francisco Chronicle. The two sports star was chosen by the A's with the 9th pick in the draft. He signed for $4.5 million in June. They're expecting him to show up for spring training in February, though. So how is he going to work out in the combine? We'll have no idea. This is a really tough decision because if he plays baseball, you can get stuck in the baseball system for a while. You can struggle. You can be in the minor leagues for a while you work your way up. And maybe the curveball at upper levels is a little bit more tougher than you think. I mean, who knows? I mean, there's many reasons. But if you're being pegged by the Kuipers and the McShays of the world as a first-round pick, then that's easy, right? I mean, you don't wall away in a NFL system. You play. You're a number one pick. You get paid, and you play. And you're expected to play. So that's got to be a tough decision for him. Scott Boras says he's got a baseball contract, but I'm sure he's more than happy to help him out with a football contract.
Yeah,
if he can.
At this point, I mean,
can Scott Boras do that?
I mean, obviously,
can he work with NFL clients? Or
probably
he has to be registered, right? But I'm sure he is.
I don't know. I'm sure he is. I mean,
I'm sure he is.
Obviously, you know, if you knew that you could have a successful baseball career, that's the route you go.
You go to baseball, right?
Because there's longevity. You're not going to get your brains bashed in and week out. But man, I mean, if you're looking at this, I guess maybe you go through spring training, like the beginning part, because the combine's in March, right?
Yeah. February?
February?
Oh, well, man, maybe so.
Because, I mean, it would be nice to know where you kind of sit with the club team. I mean, if you get invited to spring training by the major league club, it'd be kind of nice to see where you stand.
And then I'd like to talk to some draft guys. Doesn't his size, isn't this problematic? I mean, he's not even... He's like 5'9" or something.
To Drew Brees.
I know, but I guess. But listen, there is a... if you're a first-round pick, if you are pegged to be a first-round selection, take it. I mean, I love baseball. I think you should stay in it for the longevity. But man, first-round pick money, that's pretty good.